Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, Wednesday edition, December 12th, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey here. Steve will be there in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can get in touch with us anytime. Our email address is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. You can catch our shows anytime, anywhere, on demand. When you hit subscribe, just search Steve Jones Show at either the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, Google Play. If you do listen to us on iTunes, don't hesitate to leave us a review, 5-star review. Thanks ahead of time for doing that. A lot going on today. Of course, as we know, Penn State and Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl. New Year's Day, 1 p.m. kick here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with an 11:30 a.m. airtime. And coming up next half hour, Tom Leach will join us, the play-by-play announcer for Kentucky football. Next hour, great friend of the show, Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and Steelers Radio Network pregame show host, which, of course, you can catch the Steelers on 100.9 The Valley. See if the Steelers can finish their free fall and get things turned around on Sunday as Tom Brady and Bill Belichick come to town. Steelers Patriots, and that'll be a 2:25 airtime on Sunday on 100.9 The Valley. And we'll wrap up the show this afternoon with some basketball talk. We'll be talking with Bucknell Bison men's basketball head coach Nathan Davis. Bison heading to Big Ten Power Ohio State on Saturday. That'll be an 11:30 a.m. airtime and a noon tip with Doug Birdsong on Eagle 107 at 107.3 and on our Sunbury Broadcasting app. And following that, then, a West Coast swing for the Bison. 1 week from tonight, they'll play out at St. Mary's. Yes, the Gales. And then from there, won't be coming east. The Bucknell Bison will head west. They're going to take part in the Diamond Head Classic. That's right. Nathan Davis and his team, they're going to spend Christmas in Hawaii. So they'll play a minimum of 2 games in Hawaii. Chances are 3 games if they hit the championship game, which would be on Christmas Day. So best wishes to the Bison as they finish off their finals, get back out onto the court, and we'll get Nathan Davis's thoughts as the team prepares for that long road trip, which of course is perfect since campus will be on break during that. Well, tomorrow is the day. Myself, Steve, the suit Kevin Herr, and Steve's brother Kevin Jones, we will be making our annual college football picks, all 39 games. Although Suit says he's picking 40 games. The rest of us will stick with 39. And we'll see if the Suit wins one for the thumb. Your defending 4-time college bowl game prediction champ. So for the full hour tomorrow, starting at 4:06, we'll be picking games. Pick college games, and of course, Steve's brother Kevin, Steve, and myself will have our pro picks as well. I would think we would have to add in for tomorrow night. We'd have to add in that great game that's going to be coming up between the Chargers and the Chiefs. So that's your Thursday night game tomorrow night, which, of course, you'll be able to hear on News Radio 1070 WKOK tomorrow night, right after Shikellamie basketball. Speaking of,
it's good to have the chief.
Yes,
good to have the chief back on last night.
Yes.
Chief says he's feeling better, which is great. So it was good to talk with him last night.
Well, I knew there had to have been a specific reason as to why he was not at the holiday party last week. So I was rather, I should have texted him last week wondering, hey, didn't see you here. So, but glad he's feeling better.
It was interesting, though. I mean, there were three of us there that knew a little bit, and only two were worried.
One out of the three was kept in the loop, and who could the other two be?
The other two being, and bottom line is, I mean, Dave's not buying any digital media, so he's kind of, he's off the caring tree. So
speaking of Dave in the suit, next up for Shikellamie basketball will be Lourdes Regional. They'll be coming to the field house tomorrow night. Of course, we'll have that for you here on WKOK beginning at 7:06. And then after that, tomorrow night, we'll have Chargers Chiefs.
Incredible.
There you go.
That is great. Looking forward to it. Very, very much. So, got Tom Leach today, the play-by-play voice of Kentucky, on. Jerry Dulac is on today. Let's see. Who's on the back end today?
We're going to have Nathan Davis from Bucknell.
Nathan Davis. And tomorrow we're going to have Andrew Callahan on about the Patriots.
It's been a while. Yeah, that's right. That first time Andrew on since he's taken that new gig as a Patriots beat reporter, so perfect timing.
Yeah.
Heading into Sunday's game.
Yeah, that's really great. So looking forward to that and talking with them. And then tomorrow is our big bowl picks. Of course, the suit's saying he's the 12-time champion.
Minus like, 8.
This show's been on for 7 years. don't you worry.
I do. Sometimes. Depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
Yeah. Boy.
Although he and Sammy did a really cool job yesterday. They finished our holiday decorations. Out in front of our building, added some red and green spotlights hitting the building. So when our visitors come in for Talk to Santa, they see that as they make their way into the parking lot.
I love how everything is set up for Talk with Santa. I love that. I love how when the youngsters walk in, they see their names up in lights on the big screen. And then they go into the room with the magic radio and little Bobby saying, "Where's Mr. Suit?"
Say what? What do you say?
You're safe, Bobby. All right. So
another great tradition that we do, and a lot of people that are longtime residents of Sunbury will know this, and we only do this during the Talk to Santa season. As you're well aware, all five of our radio transmitters back behind our building, all five of them are for WKOK. But what we do, most of the year, you only see three of them lit out of the five. But this is the time of year when we light up all five of our towers. But one of the beacons was burned out. So actually yesterday we had two people all the way up at the top at tower number five yesterday. They had to have been up there for at least, oh my goodness, an hour. Maybe Kyle would probably have a better idea. An hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes up there changing the bulb on one of the towers. So we now have all five lit up brightly at night. And we always do that right up until, I think we leave all five on at night till like the first of the year.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so we've been doing that for decades here, long before I got here.
Wow. Did you read the article in The Athletic about the college football playoff? Yes, it's very, very interesting because there's some interesting quotes in there. Obviously, the one that's not like Bill Hancock who runs it. Nah, I don't think we need to do that. Bill, you have no say in this, babe.
You mean increasing it to 8 in the not-too-distant future? Or?
Yes.
Why would he? Why would he say that? Maybe I guess just not to create more of a stir, or
why would he say that? Because they're the ones in charge of the darn thing. Not going to say, hey, we need eight teams. That's not his place to say they need eight. It's not his place to do that. I'm going to tell you about the particulars of the article in a moment, then Tom Leach at 3:35, then Jerry Dulac, then Nathan Davis. Big show today. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio, 1070 WKOK. Took a couple minutes to look at Kentucky's defense today. The first game I watched was Louisville. Since it was their last game, I'll say this: Louisville's offense was bad. Okay, so I mean, just bad. I mean, to be honest with you, there's some simple plays in here that Kentucky makes, but it's like, okay, they're just bad. Okay, Nicole Auerbach, athletic. Talked to enough people along the way, and she wrote an article in The Athletic today about possible expansion of the college football playoff. All right. So they say the first 4 years were considered a success. I agree with that. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Oklahoma. Hey, let's face it. I mean, those are the best four teams this particular year. I agree with that. I would have put Notre Dame fourth because, you know, they choose to be an independent. Well, choices do bring with the consequences. You don't play in a conference championship game, you lose a spot. Sorry, it's your choice. So they don't play a 13th game. All right. So I would have put them fourth, put Oklahoma third, but that's small potatoes. Now several influential voices, she writes, in college football are calling for a serious look at expansion. There's a groundswell of support to expedite expansion before the end of the college football playoff's initial 12-year contract with ESPN in 2026. Many telling The Athletic they support an eight-team playoff. Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, says it's an appropriate thing to begin thinking about. Okay. There have been a number of informal conversations involving college football's most important power brokers in recent weeks and months. The growing concerns that the system designed to nationalize the sport, including a championship game that is being played at different venues, this year being held in Santa Clara for the first time, is being undermined and regionalized with teams from the Southeast regularly playing each other. Now, the bottom line is you do need to beat them, okay? Right? So I do understand that part. But, yeah, I mean, it's in terms of like the same teams getting in, it's starting to look like NASCAR. Everyone has the same feeling expansion is inevitable, said Wisconsin Athletic Director Barry Alvarez, who served on the CFP selection committee from 14 to 16. Now, Barry Alvarez, in the times I've talked with him, formal, informal, has always been a very reasonable guy. So when you can do it, and I think we need to serve more people. He said, I think four was right, the right way to get it started. I agree with that, too. I think the BCS actually set the paved the way for four. Remember, we had Jim Delaney on the show last year, and I said, Jim, I know how hard you worked to get two. And he couldn't stop laughing because, okay. Well, two paved the way to get four. To get eight, four is paving the way for that if that's where they're going to go. Alvarez said, quote, in my opinion, we need to take a look at adding more teams into the playoff and giving more opportunities. I don't know whether we're serving all of our people right now when you have some leagues, our league, the Big Ten, as an example. 2 years in a row, we don't have anyone represented. We haven't had the champion in 3 years. The Big 12's been the same way. The Pac-12 the same way. Big Ten champion has been left out of the 14 playoff in each of the past three seasons, but Ohio State made it as a wild card 2 years ago. The Pac-12 has missed three of the past four fields. Alabama's been in all five, including last year when the Crimson Tide did not even win their division. Some people with direct knowledge of the conversations involving commissioners, athletic directors, and presidents declined to speak on the record because they feel they need to publicly support the current 14 model. Others feel they need to speak out in support of expansion to get the ball rolling. The midway point of the playoff contract with ESPN, the 2020 season, is fast approaching. It would make sense to expand then after these six semifinal bowls have all hosted an equal number of games. In a statement to The Athletic on Tuesday, the ESPN spokesman said, quote, "We have no involvement in the competitive makeup of the playoff." Alvarez said the criteria for selection has been confusing, with the weight carried by conference champions and strength of schedule varying year to year, even week to week. The three leagues have missed the playoff multiple times, all play nine-game conference schedules. Even the rankings have irked those keeping tabs on strength of schedule. Florida finished number 10, earning a trip to a New Year's Six bowl game, even though two of their nine wins, are against FCS opponents. Really? Yeah, really. Bill Hancock, the college football playoff director, said there's not been any conversations in our meetings with commissioners or presidents about expanding. This will come at a time and at a point as we get toward the end of the 12-year contract. Bill, I know you're doing your job, but no. Simple as that. Now, a man I immensely respect is Chuck Ninus, former Big 12 commissioner. He is the one that works so hard with the College Football Association with Joe Paterno back in the 80s. Ninus knows his deal. Ninus said that he'd like to have an 8-team model, and he's given this to all the participants. What is an 8-game model would be? His 8-team model would be. It would include the Power 5 conference champions, top group of 5 champion, 2 at-large spots. Conference championship games would be eliminated. The regular season would end the weekend after Thanksgiving. Quarterfinal games would then be played the following weekend on campus sites. Winners would advance to the New Year's Six semifinal games at the year's designated bowl sites as usual. So how would it look this year if the Ninus model worked? Washington would have played number 1 Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Oklahoma would have played in Athens against Georgia. Ohio State would have played in South Bend against Notre Dame, and Central Florida would have played Clemson in Death Valley. 2 winners of the Orange Bowl and 2 winners of the Cotton Bowl. Ninus said, "We need to maintain interest in the regular season. If you knew that your conference champion in the Pac-12 was going into the playoff, that manages to propel continued interest throughout the season." Under his model, under the Ninus model, and you know I've talked about eliminating conference championship games, pooling the money, and doing quarterfinals. You know I've talked about that. Well, that's essentially what Chuck's saying here. Imagine a home game in Beaver Stadium the first Saturday in December to go to the Final Four.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Jerry Dulac, next half hour. Nathan Davis, final half hour. This half hour, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Kentucky football and basketball, Tom Leach.
Should they expand the college football playoff? There is now getting to be a groundswell to do something like that. Interesting. When's the next Shikellamy basketball game?
That'll be tomorrow night, 7:06, here on WKOK and WKOK.com. Lords Regional be coming to the Shikellamy Fieldhouse tomorrow night. Phil Lockoff, Jim.
They don't still do the Periscope thing, do they?
No, I think they switched it to Facebook Live. Yeah, I don't know if Kevin and the Chief did that last night or not. Tough loss last night for the Braves. They were leading in the fourth, Jersey Shore, with a come-from-behind victory.
Well, after all these years of disparaging things the suit has said about Jersey Shore.
Yeah, surprised they let him in, to be truthful with you.
I'm not surprised they rallied in the fourth quarter. There's no way we're losing to this guy.
Get a guy down there with the headset. Stick it to him. Let's go on a run.
Come on, man. Our bold picks are tomorrow. Le Suit will be on.
Looking for his fifth consecutive crown.
He says that we have to pick the Celebration Bowl.
Yes, we've been saying all week long, we're going to pick all the games, all 39. He's going to pick 40. He can start 0-1. I don't care. I'm not proud. I'll take it.
I don't know.
Fast starts, what it's all about.
I mean, who even knows who's in the game? All right. I'll give it a shot. I mean, at some point, I will sit down and look at it. But yeah, I haven't looked at any of these games yet. I mean, last night, for example, I had worked on North Carolina State Sunday. Last night, look, with my schedule and the turnover it has right now, I worked on Duquesne in Alabama last night. Thus, I had such a head start that when it came time to then turn and do the next game, I can cut down on my prep time because of what I've done so far. So I'm not sitting there going, gee, I wonder who's going to win the Holiday Bowl. I haven't had a chance to look at it. I'll be guessing like everybody else. All right. Let's bring in Tom Leach, outstanding play-by-play voice of Kentucky football and basketball. And we, you know, there's no sports bozo of the day. We don't do that anymore, anything like that. I know, Tom, you feel fortunate to have escaped.
Happy to do it. I was afraid I was the bozo of the day for a minute.
No, that's okay. You have no idea how every day I sit here and listen to him say that and wonder if I'm going to make the cut or not this week. So I always wonder that myself.
I can imagine feeling. I'm the same way.
Hey, you know what? This has been quite a year for them. Let's talk about Mark Stoops. He's been given time to get to this point. What has that meant, and what should it tell us about the Kentucky administration about how much they understand about the toughness of the job?
Mitch Barnhart's the longtime AD here, and when he had to hire a coach, he wanted to find somebody, turns out obviously like Mark, that had a defensive background, that came from a winning program, and hiring a coach to walk into, which was a roster that was really depleted, and you're just going to have to build that roster up in a very difficult league with the probably smallest recruiting base in that league in the state of Kentucky. So you have to credit Mitch for having, I think, a long-term view. I don't think there were stories written about, you know, hot seat and coaches on hot seat, and Stoops' name came up there, and going into his fourth year, I don't think he was ever in any danger of losing his job at that point. But eventually you got to win, and he did in year four, and it's just moved forward from there. But credit the AD for having a long-term view. And also he was an AD that, you know, had success and done a nice job with picking coaches, and so had, you know, the equity in his job that he could afford to be patient.
Explain to us, as somebody who has the privilege of watching him every day, Josh Allen, why he's so effective, and what is the domino effect that Josh Allen has on the rest of the defense?
A really neat story. Played in Alabama through his junior year of high school, and Played, I think, basketball as well as football, and then there was a family situation that caused him to move to New Jersey, and he kind of got lost in the shuffle as far as the camps and the rating services, et cetera. And so he's up in Jersey, and his high school coach can't get anybody to take a look at him, and even Rutgers, the state university, and so he's got a one offer from Monmouth to play college football, and then Kentucky has a guy decommit. I can't even remember who it was, but they had a scholarship open at the last minute, and so they had had some discussion with this guy up in Jersey, and so Josh ends up coming down to visit, and they like the tape. They bring him down for a visit and immediately offer him a scholarship, and he was like, you know, kind of looked a little bit like a basketball player, 6'5", about 220 probably, had to play as a freshman because of Kentucky's roster situation at the time, and has just steadily gotten bigger, stronger, worked harder, really has become, in addition to being a better athlete, he's studied the craft of the position he's playing. And so he's now 6'5", 260, great speed. They use him in coverage some. And he's taken on a leadership role this year. He became a father last year about a week before the time to announce that whether he would go into the draft or not. And he would have gotten drafted last year, but it would have been probably second day. And he decided he didn't want to lose that first year with his son. It was part of the reason he decided to come back. And, boy, has it ever paid off for him. It's a really neat story.
What's the domino effect? How much he'll get attention. He'll make his own plays, but he'll get a lot of attention. What's the domino effect been on the defense just by his mere presence out there?
There was a guy Kentucky had actually played against the Nittany Lions up there in State College in 77, Art Still.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
I was a witness.
Teams would run their offenses away from Art, and Art probably could have been deployed in the way that Josh is, you know, if he had, you know, played in this time when, you know, there's zone blitzes and things where defensive linemen drop back into coverage that they didn't do then. But, you know, Josh, I don't know that he had quite the impact from a standpoint of the other team running their offense away from him like it happened with Art, but he was a guy who commanded extra attention so that, you know, the linebacker on the other side, Boogie Watson, had several sacks. I think he made their coverage better with the attention teams had to pay for him. They had to, you know, keep a linebacker or a tight end or a running back in to chip at least, if not double team. So it took somebody else out of the pass pattern. And there are times that Josh would drop into coverage and ended up getting some pass breakups in addition to the other things you know, a lineman or a linebacker normally gets credit for statistically.
If I recall, Terry Wilson at one point had been at Oregon, then went JC, and then ended up at Kentucky. What has he meant to how they want to run the offense?
It was a quarterback competition, and Terry is the guy, I think, that could, of the two that were competing, could do more damage with his legs, and I think that's what ultimately was part of the thing that swung the victory his way in the quarterback competition. He's arguably one of the probably three fastest guys on the team, and so early in the year especially, they do a lot of the read option with Benny Snell, and so you have to really respect the quarterback pulling it out and getting out on the edge with Terry Wilson, or if they line up in the Wildcat and they bring Terry Wilson in motion, then you have to really, you know, stretch your defense out a little bit horizontally to account for his speed. And so it gave them, I think, an ability to help create some more space for Benny Snell running the football, which is really what their offense has been built around for probably the last 2.5 years. And then Terry has – the one thing he didn't do until last couple of games of the season is hit on some deep balls. That's the thing that they were hoping to, I think, have a bigger part of their offense this year, is those explosive passing plays off the running game, and they haven't quite done that to the extent that they wanted to, but they did have some success in the last couple of games, so maybe it's coming.
Benny Snell, you mentioned that during the course of the answer with Terry Wilson. He's received a lot of publicity, especially in the first half of the season he did. What kind of running back is he?
He's not the fastest guy in the world. He's kind of a throwback, you know, a guy who in the 70s would have been, you know, a back that got the ball 35, 40 times a game, you know, in an I formation. Very strong. I remember his first training camp in a couple of scrimmages in August, watching him run through tackles and carry tacklers. And the first week it happened against the threes and fours. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's pretty impressive, but let's see if he does it against the best guys. And he did the next week in the scrimmage. And then he got his chance about a third of the way into the season and has run that way. Just very, people will call it, you know, running violently or angry. He loves running between the tackles, loves getting the ball as much as you'll give it to him. He's become a little better receiver this year, adequate blocker and blitz pickup, et cetera. But kind of a throwback in terms of, you know, he'd love to get the ball 35, 40 times a game, just very durable. Their line, I think, maybe got a little beat up in the middle of the season, and the inability to hit some of those deep throws kind of depressed his production there for a stretch in the middle part of the season. But he's been incredibly durable and been, you know, really the key that's driven this resurgence in the last three seasons.
Tom, give us an under-the-radar guy, one on offense and one on defense, that in seeing them every day you know is critical, but maybe most fans, especially up here, would not realize.
On the defensive side, Darius West is – I just saw he got invited to the Senior Bowl this week. He was a guy that was not expected to be the force that he was in their secondary. Senior that had some injury issues, and he finally was able to play a whole season and stay healthy, and really is good coming downhill, making tackles. He's got several pass breakups, so he's been an outstanding free safety. And I think probably the other guys in the secondary, it's an all-senior secondary, but I think he's the one that probably has outperformed expectations the most of that group, would be my guess. On the offensive side, under the radar, I think Lynn, I don't know that Lynn Bowden, the slot receiver, would be classified as under the radar. Their outside receivers have not been great, frankly. You know, maybe A.J. Rose,
okay,
who backs up Benny Snell,
yep,
who has better speed and has a little bit of that home run threat in the run game, had a 75-yard touchdown run in the last game against Louisville, at a 55-yarder in the first game. Doesn't get a lot of chances because of the reliance on Benny, but is a guy that, you know, inherits the job probably next year and has that more of that home run speed. So maybe A.J. Rose.
All right. When I've been around Kentucky basketball, there is no program in the country, and this isn't even close, that travels better with its fans than Kentucky basketball. It's not even the same realm. What about this bowl game? What kind of, you know, there's a lot of excitement around the program, a chance to win 10 games in the season for the first time since 77. How excited are Kentucky fans about this opportunity?
I think it'll be a huge turnout for Kentucky because it is a historic season in terms of just the 9 wins and the chance to win a 10th. And also, they have a large, their largest alumni base outside the Commonwealth of Kentucky is in Atlanta. So that's an easy drive to Orlando. And then there's a large alumni base in the state of Florida. So not just the Kentucky fans that will use the opportunity to travel from the state of Kentucky to go down to Florida on January 1st, but also the guys that have a shorter drive from the alumni standpoint, I think, will boost the turnout as well. One thing I think Kentucky fans would like me to confirm is to make sure there are no Crispin brothers on the football team.
No, there are no. No. Tom, I did that game, okay? There are no. The Crispin brothers, one's on TV, the other one is coaching outside of Philadelphia right now. But if you'd like to bring them back as honorary captains.
People still talk about the Crispin brothers.
Well, after that game was over with, there was a line of Kentucky fans that lined up to get their autograph.
That's the thing about Kentucky basketball fans. They will acknowledge somebody who is outstanding on the other team.
Joe had 31, John had 26. That was John's career high, by the way. So
they were just raining down shots. I wasn't doing the games at the time, but I was there that night.
Yeah, and that was a Sweet 16 Kentucky team. Both teams ended up in the Sweet 16 that year, Penn State and Kentucky. Quick thoughts.
You know, and I believe –
Yeah, go
ironically,
ahead.
I think that was, I believe I'm right on this, I think that may have been the last game the legendary Kentucky announcer, Kaywood Ledford, saw in Rupp Arena, because he got sick after that. And
I talked to him before the game in the press room.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that may have been the last game that he saw in Rupp Arena.
Oh, my goodness. I never knew that.
Not sure about that, but yeah. I think it's right.
Tom, finally, just quick impression you got from Penn State.
You know, I have just seen bits and pieces of game. I remember, I forget who Kentucky had played, but the Ohio State game, we were waiting to do, there's a big TV in the room where we do Stoops' post-game show, and we were all watching that game waiting for the post-game show to start. So I remember watching that game. Otherwise, I just saw bits and pieces.
Sure.
You know, familiar with James Franklin from the Vanderbilt days and a great job he did there. And, you know, Penn State is just, I just think, you know, the iconic uniforms and, you know, they're gonna be excellent defensively, solid running game. I know McSorley I've followed as a quarterback, just as a, you know, college football fan. So I haven't gotten deep into the prep yet, but
sure,
my perception of Penn State is that it's kind of classic Penn State. I mean, they're going to be very tough physically, and you'll know you've been in a football game when it's over.
Who's next for you in hoops?
Kentucky has Utah in here on Saturday, which hopefully will be a bounce back game for them after the Seton Hall game, and then they've got Carolina and Louisville, so they jump right back into the deep end of the pool pretty quickly.
Yeah, Utah for the most part. That's the team Penn State beat in the NIT championship game. That was more of a veteran team. So,
yeah, they're a little bit younger.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, much younger. But then at the end, you do Kentucky basketball. You know what young is?
Yeah. Sophomore is an old guy on the basketball team.
Yeah, he's the captain. Oh, really? He's a sophomore. Yeah, he's the captain.
Tom, I got a grad transfer from Stanford on the team this year.
Oh, yeah. In fact, his cousin went to school here. As a matter of fact, played basketball here. Yep. Ross Travis, his cousin, played here at Penn State. You've got Reed.
Yes.
Tom, absolute pleasure. I look forward to seeing you on New Year's Day. Thanks so much for the time you gave us.
Yeah, happy to help, and look forward to seeing you down in Orlando, and hopefully it's typical Florida weather and not anything unusually cold.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Tom Leach, the play-by-play voice of Kentucky football and basketball. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Nathan Davis in the final half hour. We'll talk some Bucknell basketball. Jerry Dulac, Steelers radio, as well as the Post-Gazette's going to join us in the next half hour. The Patriots will take on the Steelers on Sunday. We'll have Andrew Callahan from MassLive.com on the show tomorrow. Get a read on the Patriots. This is not a must-win for the Steelers, but it is a recommended win. A, they're playing at home. And B, they are not favored in two of the last three games they're playing. Baltimore is. Sean's already pacing.
Oh, I am. I know. Yeah. And they're going to go with Lamar Jackson the rest of the way, the Ravens.
Yes.
Even though Joe Flacco could. It doesn't matter how close or at 100% he will be. But they've finally turned the page. But Steve Bisciotti, he's got an interesting decision to make offseason, too, whether he's going to re-up John Harbaugh for another, 4 or 5 years? At least that's what Harbaugh would want.
Explain to me what Harbaugh has done to not get a contract. In fact, this might be his best coaching job yet.
Price point's interesting, too, especially now what John Gruden's getting for the Raiders.
Just came up big win, man. Big win. Everybody wants to be a Raider after watching that game.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.